You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and pour some warm liquid in a glass because this episode is the ultimate tea class. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is sponsored by my BFF's Amazing Grass, who just became even more amazing by launching some new awesome, amazing stuff. Elixirs. Elixirs is kind of a hot word being thrown around the healthy product marketing town. So if you're wondering, the true definition of an elixir is a magical or medicinal potion. So Amazing Grass is three new organic medicinal potions, which come in packets or tubs as per their usual, are crafted to support your beauty, your brain, and your belly. No, not all at once. I'm a personally humongo fan of their brain potion, elixir, which has my beloved matcha in it, plus my also beloved maca, among a bunch of other carefully chosen ingredients which work together to keep your focus in check. Ah, but I'm also a humongo fan of their belly elixir, which I've been especially going to town on since it has probiotics in it, and I've weirdly misplaced my probiotics in my home. To take Amazing Grass to the next level of amazingness, they're offering Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off. Yes, 40%, not some measly 10%, 40% off your Amazing Grass orders if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use coupon code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. That's PLANTPARTY40 at checkout on amazinggrass.com. And all that info is also linked in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/43. If you're used to grabbing a tea from the coffee shop and sipping on it in between text or at traffic lights, my guest today really wants you to stop in the name of tea and sip it mindfully. Okay, those aren't his exact words, but Andy Hayes, the founder of Plum Deluxe, a Portland, Oregon-based small batch tea company, does believe that the beauty of tea is helping us slow down and enjoy a mindful moment. I like that. I like that a lot. And I like that Andy sat down with me for many mindful moments and explained the ins and outs, befores and afters, and hots and colds of tea. Yippee! Andy, thank you so much for joining the Party in My Plants podcast today.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome. You're awesome.
You're awesome. And Plum Deluxe is awesome. And, you know, my first question is, teas, Andy, what is a youthful dude like you doing starting a tea company?
Youthful dude. Thank you. I take that as a compliment. I used to be in technology. I used to work at a huge software company doing multi-million dollar software projects. And I went through not one, not two, but three corporate mergers.
Wow.
Womp womp. And as you know, in a merger, typically you get the short end of the deal.
Okay.
But I found myself really just, you know, making trade-offs that I felt happy with. Like maybe I was making less money, but I had more vacation time, or maybe I didn't have the role that I liked exactly, but I had more opportunity for potential future things. So that last merger put me into an organization that, you know, in my opinion, in hindsight, was a toxic work environment. Wow. I had a lot of health issues because of the stress and just the negativity and the way I was treated at that job. Mm-hmm. And what that job taught me was that, you know, I needed to go on my own. I had people for years saying to me, you know, you should do your own thing. You're so smart. You think on your feet, you know, you should do your own thing. And I kind of thought, well, that's way too risky. You know, like I could not be trusted with my future. And
I could not be trusted with my future.
And, you know, after a while, I kind of realized like, whoa, like the real risk is trusting someone else with my future. So deep. I got the heck out of there. Yeah, I got the heck out of there. Had no idea what I was going to do. I'd been living in Europe for many, many years then.
Oh,
lived in Amsterdam for quite a long time. And then I was in Scotland at the time that I had left my corporate career. So, yeah, so I lived there for most of my life and, you know, just kind of wandered. I didn't really have a mission or purpose. I think I was kind of hoping that it would just, you know, smack me up the head one day. And it did. So long story short, I ended up leaving Scotland because once I'd left that job, I realized I didn't really even like where I was living. You know, the people, the weather, that kind of thing. You know, like when you're just in a place that you're like, yeah, not a great fit.
Yeah, totally.
So back stateside, you know, Portland, get settled back over here, trying to speak English the way we speak English over here. Then I had like kind of the big moment that hit me over the head. My mom, who I was really admired my whole life, had been dealing with cancer for like 6 years and finally moved on. Oh, and that was a huge wake up call. I was like, you know, like I really need to get my, you know, crap together. Mm. I really need to focus on doing something that's meaningful to me, to do something that has a purpose in the world.
Yeah.
And all this time, and you had commented before we had started recording how much love and effort is on our blog. And
yeah,
at the time, and from the very beginning, that's how we had treated it. I thought I was going to be in like the online magazine business, but there's just not a lot of money there in the online magazine business, especially, you know, like 8-9 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I knew eventually I needed to get my own products. And at the time, you know, Plum Deluxe has evolved in different kind of mission statements and purpose, you know, taglines, that kind of thing. But at the time, you know, we were really focused on, you know, how do we be better versions of ourselves and how do we kind of slow down and have like the thoughtful conversations that are important. Mm-hmm. And so what kind of product goes with that conversation?
Tea.
Well, tea. tea, right? Because what's the thing you think about when you think of tea? Like, it's slower.
Yeah, you can't chug tea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's slowed down. And the thing I like the most about tea is when it says, you know, like it needs 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's what it takes. Like, we have not invented technology to get around it yet, really.
That's true. That's a funny point. It's true. For me, it's more like 15 minutes because I can't drink it that high. It burns my fragile little tongue. But then I have the reverse problem of I let it steep for like 15 minutes and then I forget about it and then it's cold and it sucks. But maybe you can help me out with that throughout this conversation.
we'll come up with something.
Yeah.
How's that?
So you realized that tea was something that that helps people slow down and... How did you then decide, okay, I'm going to start an online tea company?
Well, I already had the infrastructure. You know, I had a tech background, so making things happen on the web, not hard for me.
That's cool.
My old managers always said I was really good at putting the pieces together. Like I could envision like all these different parts coming together. So you can kind of imagine that skill being really useful at making tea because teas... Like the ones I sell are all blends. So you kind of see how all the pieces come together. So I thought, you know, like that's the product. That's it. You know, how do I do that?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I have a lot of great ideas because I lived in a place in the world for a long time where tea is a really big part of the culture.
Oh, where's that?
And all over Europe, any country you go to in Europe, there's tea has a really significant kind of influence in social culture. Oh. It'd be a little different depending on where you go. For example, in Holland, the Dutch love to sit over a cup of mint tea. And it's usually literally a cup of hot water with mint like jammed into the top.
That's cool.
Whereas obviously in Britain, it's very different. Everybody's drinking these, you know, knock your socks off black teas with milk and sugar and shortbread.
Uh-huh.
No judging, you know, everybody has different tastes, but, you know, I'd seen a lot of different things. And so I felt like I had a real interesting kind of view.
Yeah.
Thing. And then what was really interesting is someone was working for me, helping me with the blog, managing all the writers and trying to make sure that, you know, because we were doing like sponsors and things to try to, you know, make a go of it. And so there was just a lot of kind of commotion there and I had someone helping me. And she worked for a tea company on the weekend doing farmers markets, like another company, you know.
Oh.
Totally unrelated to me.
You knew about this?
I didn't know about this.
She was cheating on you?
Well, I didn't have the tea at the time. So
it's just pre-tea. Okay.
So, yeah. So I said, hey, you know, would you introduce me to this person you work for. I'm looking for a mentor. And she said she would. And then the person who had the tea company already was like, absolutely. Like, I'd love to help. You know, I'm really interested in helping other people grow, like, you know, artisan businesses. And I showed her all of my concepts. And she said, I think this is, you're going to be like a tea millionaire. It's going to be amazing. And I said, well, I don't know about that, but let's, you know, try something. So she taught me everything that I needed to know about how to do it. And I reworked the website. We put up 4 different blends of tea in a Tea of the Month Club subscription. Mm-hmm. And it took off like overnight.
Wow.
It literally took me almost a couple of years to just deal with the demand.
What?
Because first of all, I'm buying tea. It's like, if you imagine, we weren't even in the same city. So this is where you're having to ship things. It's almost like I'm buying tea out of somebody's, you know, trunk of their car. I'm this little guy, and then all of a sudden I'm demanding all of these like wholesale orders. I don't know really how to order, so I'm ordering haphazardly, and mm-hmm. I'm always running out of things. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing this tea subscription, which everybody wanted from the start, the most popular thing.
Huh.
So now I'm trying to figure out how to like do everything in bulk and efficiently. You know, so like in the beginning, I had everybody's envelopes like taped on the floor, and I was like taping the mailing labels. You know, things that are just not at all even possible
now. But, wow.
So, you know, I was having to learn like the hard way, but really just, you know, doing all the work. So I ended up having to break up with her.
It was just too much.
I really needed to be with someone who had like a warehouse and not just somebody who, you know, had their own little business too. And she was totally cool with it, by the way. People wondering, she was like, yeah, like you're kind of breaking my business now. So you got to get your own stuff set up. But then I had to do that, you know, and had to, you know, travel to like the tea shows. Like here in the States, there's these tea shows and like usually in Las Vegas or someplace like that, where people from Sri Lanka and India and China, Japan all come together. So you don't have to go to all the places yourself and taste all the tea. So it's just, you know, I've been spending most of these years since I started developing relationships with the vendors and
wow.
You know, learning about the estates and, you know, tasting things and developing all the products. So
incredible.
Yeah, I became the tea dude from the International Man of Mystery.
Tea dude. That's so funny. And how did the name Plum Deluxe hit the world?
Ah, yes. Well, originally my blog back in the beginning, so like 2006, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
This is back when WordPress was just becoming a thing.
Nice.
So that kind of gives people an idea of like, wow, like that in internet years is a long time ago. And like the big scheme of things, not really that much time has passed.
Right.
I was really focused on the travel influence of how to become better versions of ourselves. Uh-huh. And I was asking that question, like, you know, why if we go on vacation, all of a sudden we're like really happy and we're like really in alignment with our goals and dreams. And we have these really thoughtful intellectual conversations. Like, how does that not come home with us? So that was the side of the things I was tackling back then. And then when I realized that, you know, I really need to hone in on, you know, where we are at home, I wanted to change the brand. And I think, you know, kind of the universe was like, you need to change this brand because something is coming and it needs a new name.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed it to Plum Deluxe because plum is a fruit, yes, but plums is also a color, which I really dig the color purple.
Hmm.
But plums, everywhere that tea is grown and kind of famous for, you know, China, Japan, the fruit of a plum was always considered really lucky.
Oh.
It was always something really sought after. And then in Old English, a plum is something that you kind of stumbled upon that you're really grateful for, you know, like, you know, Italia, that you know, that new job that you got, like what a plum opportunity that was.
They say that?
Yeah, that's an old English word.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
A plum opportunity. Yeah. So
plum.
So plum and then deluxe, why not?
Yeah, just
and then I was able to get the domain and the trademark. So
wow, cool. I love that. There's like a trifold meaning to that.
Yeah.
Plum.
Yeah. And yeah.
That's great. And also it's a fruit. It's like a fancy tea fruit. It makes me think of like a nice purple tea, but
I don't know. And people always ask me, I don't have a plum tea yet, but I am working on it.
You better work on that.
Yeah. It's actually a really tricky one.
Well, get on it. Be the dude that sells the plum tea.
in development,
yeah. So you say that your tea is hand-blended in small batches at your studio in Portland. And so I'm curious what that actually means because, well, I guess really my question is then how is tea typically produced? Because it sounds like, you know, you're emphasizing that your tea is hand-blended in small batches, which makes it seem like that's unique. And so I guess I'm wondering, how is tea typically produced, especially because you were saying you go to Vegas and you meet all these vendors, but now you're saying you make it in small batches. Like, how do you make tea? I have no idea.
Okay, so you close your eyes and picture that you're, you know, at this tea plantation. So maybe there's mountains in the background. Everything is very green. Mm-hmm. There's these green plants, you know, as far as I can see. And so people are plucking the leaves, right? Mm-hmm. The leaves of this plant are the tea. And different parts of the plant and different regions of tea are how they get, you know, these different modifiers, you know, green tea, white tea, or Darjeeling versus Assam. You know, there's all these different things. But just to keep it simple, people are picking these leaves. Now, obviously, before it gets to you, a few things happen. First of all, it needs to be dried because mm-hmm. it's got too much moisture. And if you just threw it in a box and sent it to us, it would end up like moldy or gross when it got here. So you don't want that. So you got to dry it.
Okay.
And then it's oxidized, you know, so sometimes they're roasting it or sometimes they're just rolling it, just getting all of that extra moisture out of there, getting it ready to become tea. The levels of how much they dry it and what they process it is how you get to the different types. So, you know, black tea being the most processed, if you will, and then maybe green or white being the least.
What? I didn't know that. But, yeah. So they can come from the same leaves?
Oh, yeah. It's the same plant. So black, green, white. There's also pu'er, which is a fermented tea, but the same plant.
I thought there was like green tea leaves, and then there was like black tea leaves and chamomile tea leaves. I don't know what I was thinking. I've never thought about this before.
Yeah. So, okay. So let me just kind of set the scene a little more so everybody knows. So, okay.
Can
so
I open my eyes or should I keep them closed? Because they've been closed.
You can keep them closed.
Okay. This is fun. I'm really enjoying this journey.
So there's one tea plant. So tea plantation, that's a tea plant. There are two other kinds of plants that are used often to make herbal teas, which is rooibos mm-hmm. and honeybush.
Oh.
Now, those are not tea plants, even though people do call them tea, and those both come from South Africa only.
Okay.
But they're similar. They're okay. Like, you know, bushes with leaves and bark, uh-huh. and people are using that. Now, you also have all these teas that are actually herbs and fruit, like hibiscus tea or chamomile tea.
Okay.
So a lot of those, you know, it depends on what you buy. They might have tea in them, but they are not necessarily tea. You know, we just call everything that we put things into hot water now tea, right? That's kind of what we do.
Right.
So yeah, this is only one tea plant.
What about chai tea?
So chai is actually just, you know, a word we have for like a tea with spices. So traditionally, chai does have black tea in it, like a masala chai.
Yeah.
Usually has black tea. But you could get rooibos chai. You could get, you know, spiced green tea. You can get spiced pu'er, you know, pu'er chai.
So chai really just means like spicy.
Yeah.
Like spicy tea. Okay. Interesting. So black tea, green tea, and white tea are all the same?
Yep.
What about oolong?
Yep, same thing.
Same leaf. And it's just different levels of processing is what you're saying.
Yeah. And when I say processing, it's not like the ideal word. It makes it sound like it's being, you know, put through some factory. It's really, yeah. I mean, like we're drying or we're toasting it, you know, like smoke or fermentation, you know, just very simple things. And, you know, we're just getting the moisture out, drying it, cutting it, you know, so that it's not so, you know, huge. So that it can either go into a tea bag. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so that it actually gets into your cup, that kind of thing.
Right.
So.
Is the only difference between loose tea and tea bags that tea bags has just the tea inside of it's just much more finely ground?
Technically, yes. So usually when they're processing that tea, they have these different levels of the tea, you know, so the nicest, the finest leaves, you know, the ones that look like they, you know, have lots of flavor. Kind of go in one direction. If you just imagine like somebody's kind of sorting through these things And then for the bags, that's like kind of the finest particles. You know, I'm biased because obviously, like, I sell loose tea, so I'm not like a huge bagged tea fan.
Yeah.
But there is an actual name for the tea that goes in a tea bag, and it's called Fannings. F-A-N-N-I-N-G-S, Fannings. And it's the lowest quality of the tea coming out of the estate.
Oh.
So it's usually dust. It might have a twig or two in there.
Lovely.
So it's not, you know, and of course, tea people, like, there are companies that have great tea in bags, just in general, and particularly if we're looking at like a supermarket
tea,
that's what it is. It's the lowest quality coming out of an estate.
Interesting. Okay. My mind is being blown. I'm really thoroughly enjoying this conversation.
We're getting real.
We're getting so real about tea. This is like tea 101 time. I'm opening my eyes now so I can focus on my further questions, but that was a lovely visualization you just took me on. So you say that, like we were saying, yours are hand blended in small batches in Portland. So let's go back to that. What does that mean?
So an estate, you know, these plantations make all of this tea, and now they're sending it to where it needs to go, to the United States, to Great Britain, to Australia. But from there, you know, if you're going to get like the tea bags, usually those are produced in big factories. And so they're kind of just dumping it in, mixing any flavors or, you know, fruit that they're making it with. And then a machine makes those bags. What happens differently at Plum Deluxe and a lot of other, you know, artisan tea shops that you might live near is, so we're either working directly with a farm, you know, so like we buy green tea from farms in Japan directly. So I actually email them and then they send me something.
Wow.
You know, like directly.
Wow.
Or we're working with someone who, you know, has a relationship with a handful of estates and they manage that for me. And, you know, I say, oh, I need these things. And then they get them, you know, they ship them to LA or whatever, and then they come up to Portland. But then we take those smaller batches and we do our things to them. So what I do that a lot of other people don't do is I make all my tea in-house. And so what a lot of times happens is there are these tea wholesalers that create their own recipes and they sell those to all the tea shops or the tea companies.
Right.
But I don't think that's very interesting. And so what I do is I go out and I find like the chamomile that I like and the peppermint that I like and the green tea that I like. And then I put them together. So figure out a recipe.
Wow.
You know, I decide like if I want to do a sleepy tea, you know, what would that look like? And then do the testing and figure out how I want to put that together.
Wow. So you make all your own blends by like you do?
Yeah.
Like you, Andy, make the blends.
I Andy, make all the recipes. I have someone who's, I have two people that help me actually like pour, weigh the tea and the herbs and the spices and pour them in the bowls and mix them up and put them in the packages.
Yeah, but you create the recipes.
I create all the recipes, yeah.
That's incredible. And, you know, you were telling me that all teas aren't vegan. And I'm really curious how that's possible. Is it because of like bee pollen or honey or like, there's no like chicken tea. I mean, there's bone broth. I don't know.
Not that I know of. And I really hope that I'd like to stay not in the know if that's the case, people listening. But okay, yeah. Not all teas are vegan and not all teas are gluten-free either. I will point that out. So, okay. So just make sure that you read the ingredients. And I would not buy tea that doesn't have the ingredients listed.
So you're saying there's some weird ingredients maybe in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So honey is a big thing, or honey granules, bee pollen. And also pay attention. You'll also find sometimes tea people put, they'll put like, what's a good example? Like honey covered banana chips.
In a tea?
Yeah, just, you know, for the flavor.
Wow. Okay.
The thing that they're trying to do is they're trying to make the tea sweet.
Right.
Because people, particularly Americans, really like sweet drinks. So they're trying to sneak that in there. So a lot of tea companies, you know, you'll see like half of the ingredients are candied fruits. So it's like a ton of sugar.
Right.
You know, I'm not a big fan of, let people decide, you know, if they want to put the sugar in. But honey is the big one. But if you do pay attention, there are a lot of tea flavorings that are not vegan. It'll usually say on there, like it'll say contains lactose or contains butter. I know I've seen flavors that have butter in them.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And it's usually pretty obvious. If a tea is not going to be gluten-free, it's like a cookie tea.
Right.
And it'll say, that people are usually really good about that one. They'll say like, you know, has cookie pieces, you know, not gluten-free or whatever.
All right. Well, I guess people shouldn't just read their tea leaves. They should read their tea labels.
They really should read their tea labels.
Do you add anything like stevia or anything to make your tea sweet? Or do you just kind of encourage people to sweeten it after brewing it or steeping it?
I don't ever add anything.
Okay.
I don't ever add anything. I try to rely on fruits without candy. Mm-hmm. Just like fruits.
Yeah, the plants.
Or just, you know, the essential oils like the bergamot and Earl Grey, you know, really kind of add something or...
Gotcha.
Strawberry, you know, extract, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, let's talk about your blends for a little bit because I'm so fascinated now that I know that you actually make them. And I will say that you come up with the most fun and creative names for your blends. I mean, they're like nail polish names, which I always thought would be the most fun job in the world to like be the person that names nail polishes, like, you know, Roller Coaster Blue or... Like, I don't know. But you have names like Hammock Blend, the Self-Care Blend, the Pick-Me-Up Blend, Cuddle Time Tea. I mean, amazing. How do you come up with these names? That must be the most fun part.
It is a lot of fun. And it's also important, right? Like that changes your experience, right?
I know.
It changes your experience.
Totally.
Well, Plum Deluxe's tagline is making moments matter. So I just think about what moment is this tea for? So that helps me narrow it down really quickly.
Wow.
And then I'm just, very intuitive in that way. I think about, you know, what's the moment for? And then I can usually come up with a name really easily. Ah, so
that must be so fun. How many blends do you have right now?
I think we're up to like the low 30s.
Nice.
Which is actually not that many.
So what are some of the most popular ones?
Yeah, most popular Plum Deluxe teas. The first one that I ever made was the Reading Nook blend. And that one's always really popular, I think, because you just don't see, it's a black tea, but it has rose, chamomile, lavender. Mm. So it's kind of this like calm caffeination and you don't see that very often.
Interesting.
The self-care blend is a big seller and I think that's half due to the name.
Yes.
But it is very good for you. It has elderberries in it, which is really good for you. And then apricot, which is, it smells amazing, but it also is sweeter. So it kind of balances out the elderberries, which are really tart and it's decaf. So.
Okay. How does tea become decaf?
Well, so that one, we use honeybush tea.
Right. But like, what about these like low calf teas? What's that? How do you make a tea lower in calf and caffeine?
Yeah. And now they have higher caffeine, right? Like
what?
They have these. Yeah. There are a few companies that have like supercharged teas where somehow they pour more caffeine into it.
What?
I'm not sure how that works. I'm not that excited about it. So I haven't delved into that.
Yeah.
But for decaf teas, there's a couple of things that they do. The one that I'm more familiar with, because I use it sometimes, I don't use it very often, and I usually only use it for my tea club, is carbon dioxide removal of the caffeine. As opposed to coffee beans, which if you get decaf coffee beans, they've actually been like washed with some kind of solution that washes the caffeine out. You know, it's like anything in the modern world, you know, would it be better to just have the caffeine than these like kind of strange chemicals? Who knows? For tea is a little more delicate and it's harder to like kind of wash things out of it because, you know, otherwise it doesn't, you know, like you take the flavor with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they use carbon dioxide. So it's like they put it into a sealed chamber and they can use the carbon dioxide to get most of the caffeine out. I obviously do not do that myself, so I can't speak to it in super amounts of detail.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that it doesn't remove 100% of the caffeine. It's only maybe like 98%.
That's why it's low caffeine.
I mean, most people just say it's decaf.
Decaf.
Because it's the same for coffee too.
Right.
It goes through that decaffeination process. There's still some residual caffeine there.
Wow, interesting.
And that's why you don't see it as much either, because it's kind of hard to do. You know, it makes tea more expensive.
Just drink herbal tea, naturally decaf.
That's what I think. Or like look for teas that are cut. You know, like I have a lot of teas that are half black tea and half honeybush.
What is honeybush?
So honeybush is a plant that grows in South Africa, and it's used a lot for tea. It has a really earthy flavor with just a hint of sweetness. So it's an excellent kind of mix in with tea.
God, I'm craving tea so hardcore right now.
Do you not have one?
Like, I do. I'm not drinking it right this sec. I should have been. That would have been a smart move. But speaking about tea like that, let's talk about how to make tea, because you blew my mind when you explained to me how to seriously make iced tea, which is different than what I thought you do to make iced tea. I thought you just make hot tea and let it cool on the counter and then put it in the fridge, I thought. But you taught me a totally different way. So why don't you teach everybody else that totally different way?
I will. You're just doing tea that way because you keep forgetting it. And then you say, oh, I'll make the iced tea.
That's Is that not what other people do? I don't know. I clearly am a tea noob. I don't.
So what I had mentioned was cold brewing tea.
Right.
So what you can do is actually make iced tea with cold water. So you get a mason jar, or if you have a pitcher, you know, it's free. You put the tea in there with cold water. You just throw it all in. Just bam. In it goes. Bam. Cold water. In the fridge for at least 8 hours. So I usually just say overnight.
Right.
You need that amount of time to get that flavor. Now, the reason that I really prefer the cold brew is because, one, it almost always results in a smoother flavor as compared to the hot method. There's a lot of different ingredients that just do much better. Lavender, for example, much better cold brew. Just smoother, you know, just tastes better, just more enjoyable.
Wow.
But also the second reason is that hot to cold. I mean, you said you were letting it cool down and then putting it in the fridge.
Yeah,
but what a lot of people do is hot tea, they steep it, and then they try to get that sucker cold real fast.
Right.
And it's kind of a shock to everything going on in the tea. And you could sometimes end up with a flavor that's not quite right.
Interesting. I always did that because, A, I wasn't going to put ice in it and just like water it down. And B, I would never put a hot pot of tea in the fridge because I learned in culinary school that it's going to heat up the whole fridge.
Yeah.
Because the fridge is trying to accommodate the hot tea and cool it down. So it can just really screw with everything. So I always just let it sit on the counter for like hours for it to cool down. But your new way is easier and more fun.
So everyone put some tea in the fridge right now, because the only downside to the cold brew is that if you didn't do it, it's not waiting for you, you know? So I always try to have like kind of something going.
What's like one of your go-tos for like iced teas of your blends?
I like Summer Breakfast, which has grapefruit in it, which seems really strange, but it's actually the perfect partner for the tannins in a black tea.
Interesting.
And it also makes an excellent sangria mix in.
Okay. Well, that was another question I wanted to know. Using tea in cocktails, is that a thing?
Totally a thing.
What?
And I love grapefruit. Another one I like is hibiscus for cocktails. Just as a net, it's always a great dance partner. And I actually sell hibiscus with lime, but I just plain on hibiscus too works nice. Just because it's so tart, you know, I feel like it just, you know, because you know, a lot of people have like, you know, cranberry and gin or cranberry vodka, that kind of thing. So just those tart blends are always an easy one. And the same thing, you know, cold brew, some hibiscus, get that in there, and that's your cocktail mixer.
That's amazing. So just add vodka or add a wine, like a wine, make it like a spritzer thing, or like do you have any recipes for cocktail teas?
Yeah, if you search on our blog, if you go to the plumdeluxe.com blog, you can search for cocktails or sangrias. There's a bunch on there.
Cool.
I say, you know, just keep it simple, but use what you have. You know, like if you have some frozen grapes, like throw those in the sangria. Or if you, you know, if you, your local winemaker has a really nice white wine in the summer, think like, okay, well, what would I really enjoy pairing with it? And then
I am way too excited about this right now. I don't know. I am like freaking out. This just sounds so fun and refreshing.
Folks, we're going to have to end the interview right now.
Excuse me. I have to go make hibiscus tea sangria. What about in smoothies? Are there teas that you recommend for, because I've done that in the past where I'll make, you know, a big jar of green tea and then keep that in the fridge and use that instead of almond milk or something in a smoothie. I mean, nowadays you can really just add a little scoop of matcha powder for a caffeinated boost in the smoothie. But what do you think about tea in smoothies?
Yeah, well, I was going to say matcha for sure is kind of the in vogue thing. Matcha is expensive though, and it's really intense. So some people are probably not a big fan. I do like green tea. I actually have a green tea with passion fruit in it. It's a sencha from Japan. It's really grassy. I love it in smoothies for sure. And then sometimes it really depends on what is specifically in the smoothie. Because, you know, sometimes you just get these combinations and you're like, oh, you know, something in there I don't like, the combination that I can't put my finger on it. But I do, if it's like I went on a morning run and I have a little ways to go in the day, I do like black tea in a smoothie. Usually like an iced, like a cold brew, you know, a cold black tea. Just a little bit, just it gives that little boost. The tannins of the tea, just to me, in a black tea, you know, you have more of those tannins. That's where you get that like kind of rich. Not quite bitter, but just that, you know, astringency. Yeah. I like that with fruit. And I typically put a lot of fruit in my smoothies, you know, raspberries, blackberries. You know, I live in Oregon, so there's like fruit everywhere.
Nice.
So that kind of thing. So I feel like the black tea is just really nice. If I'm doing a green tea, it's probably some like a smoothie that's maybe a little simpler or just has like a banana or you know, something else.
I feel ya. Loose tea. Do we need like a little ball thing to put in there? Like, what is the necessary equipment for working with loose tea? Because I feel like for me, that's really, it's as dumb as it sounds, kind of been like a little roadblock for me. I mean, I have a ball thing and I feel like sometimes when I use it, some little particles of the tea like leak out of it and I'm just like, ugh, whatever, I'd rather use a bag. So help me, turn me onto the loose tea. What is the solution to my problem?
So, okay. So first, if you're doing the refrigerator tea, you don't need anything. You can just put it in the mason jar and then, you know, use your strainer, like whatever you just have in the kitchen, whatever you normally use to pour it out, get the water out of the leaves. Now for your cup of tea, you do need some sort of infuser, diffuser, you know, thing. People call it different things. Skip the cute ones that are made of silicone. Okay. Those little holes just are perfect size for different kinds of things to just shoot right out of there. They're cute. I do admit they're cute. The little man with the pants or the manatee. Yeah, they're cute, but they're just not functional, guys. Like, they're just not functional. So just, you know, mesh is better.
Yeah.
Mesh is always better.
Right.
But I personally use a French press.
Oh.
That's what I use all the time. It gets like 99% of the little pieces out. If you heat that, just use a French press. And if you have one, there's nothing special about a tea French press. They're the same thing. Just wash it first, you know, if it's got coffee stains on the inside.
Yeah, no.
But I use a French press. There's also a lot of different companies. I like Libre. I think it's Libre out of Canada. They make little tumblers that have a mesh strainer on the top. So there's a lot of different options out there. And those, of course, teapots that have the strainer thing in the
those
middle.
Those are cool.
Just look for mesh and not little holes.
Mesh. The cuter, the worse, sir.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why that is. They are cute, but yeah, they're just not.
All right.
And so, you can use them if you have like a tea that has big leaves.
Right.
And, like, go for the little manatee. He'll be fine. But if you're doing like ribose, you know, or chamomile tea, nah.
Right. I think that's what I do. I always do these like calm teas and they always leak out. And I'm like, this is making me the opposite of calm.
Yeah. You need to get yourself a French press.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's mind blowing too. This has just been a shockingly interesting conversation about tea.
I'm so glad.
Like, I could never have thought I'd have so much fun chatting about tea. Pretty cool. On that note, I had another question and now I'm forgetting. Oh, the ratio. What is there like a rule of thumb ratio tea to water?
Yeah, 1 teaspoon to 8 ounces of water, which is like a mug.
Yeah.
Now, just look at the instructions that are with the tea that you get, because it may differ. And one other thing I will point out about the amounts. So firstly, if you do use like a little tea ball, you want to make sure that tea has a lot of room to move around. So so sometimes those little balls are too small, because if the tea is packed in there, the water is not doing its job. And so you're not getting all the flavor out.
Right, because it can't hit all the angles of all the flavors.
Yeah, so you want to make sure that your tea, you know, has a lot of room. And the tea will expand as well, right? Like things, you put things in water, they expand. So you want to have a little bit of room.
Okay.
And then also for loose teas, especially, you know, if you're getting them from someone like me or just buying them, like, you know, they're really fresh, so you're buying them direct from the estate, don't just add like a ton of more tea. You know, I feel like I see a lot of people like, you know, I don't like loose tea because I just go through it so quickly. I putting like 3 scoops in my mug. And I think, well, the problem is adding more tea does not necessarily add more flavor.
Oh. Right?
Like, you know, it's, there's not a like relationship there.
Is it about how long you let it steep?
It is.
Is it steep? Steep.
Steep. Steep. Yeah. Steep. Steep, I think, would be like the tea leaking out of the cup. Be bad. You don't want to, you don't want any steeps. You want steeps. But yeah. Yeah. So I just always say, like, start with the teaspoon and see how it goes.
Well, that's fitting, isn't it? The teaspoon.
Yeah. And if it's not strong enough, add more or work or adjust the time. You know, if
gotcha.
A lot of teas will say 3 to 5 minutes. And if you didn't like 3, well, try 4 or try 5. And at the end of the day, the instructions on the label don't matter. What matters most is that you're enjoying it and you are having, you know, like your tea moments are enjoyable. So if you prefer it, you know, 7 minutes, or if you prefer it like below boiling water, or, you know, like whatever you want to do, if you're enjoying it, then that's all that matters. So don't feel bad if
that's
like,
so sweet,
you know, I prefer my tea, you know, 7 minutes, like, okay, that's great. Like, do that, do the thing that you enjoy.
You do so, you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your Tea of the Month Club, because that sounds so fun. Like, old school Netflix subscription for tea, except you don't have to return the DVD. Or, okay, it's more like a Wine of the Month Club for people who want tea instead of wine.
That's right. So it's the thing that I'm most well known for. I have like 2,000 members.
Wow.
The concept is really simple. It's $10 a month and you get an ounce of tea surprise in the mail, plus some perks like free samples, discounts, free shipping, etc. Now, the tea. The reason why I wanted to do a tea club in the first place is because I was working on these concepts and, you know, just kind of thinking things through. And what I realized is a lot of people that I know and a lot and myself included had bad tea experiences in their life, especially Americans as kids, because you would get like a crappy supermarket tea.
Yeah.
Sorry, supermarkets, but you do have like, you know, if it's $1.50 for 20 bags, like what do you expect? Right.
Right.
You get a bad impression about certain things and certain flavors. So like for me, you know, I was working with these teas that, you know, like my kind of ideas, and I was having the like Earl Grey's that I loved. I was like, oh my God, like this Earl Grey's amazing. And then I would stop and think, oh my gosh, but I hate Earl Grey. So what is happening here? Like, what is happening? And I realized that a lot of people just have kind of weird, funny experiences. So I made kind of this, you know, like bad business decision. I said, I'm going to do these surprises and people cannot pick like what they're going to get. If you have allergies or any, you know, like caffeine, decaf, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But then you just get the surprise, because I wanted people to every month try something new, try new experiences.
Cool.
And I created a whole community around it. So the Plum Deluxe Tea Club is really more about community now than tea even.
Wow.
We do a lot of really fun projects. Like for Valentine's Day, we all wrote letters to elderly people in nursing homes and sent them, you know, well wishes.
Oh my God.
Last month we did a gift swap and everybody sent each other tea and seeds and sent them a note that said what seeds that they were planting for them.
That's
of,
so
you know,
cute.
positivity. So it's really a great place. If you want to, if you like the idea of like, you know, trying new flavors and just, you know, exploring the different, you know, kinds of tea, but also have that like support network where people are, you know, positive and like-minded and cheerful, then it's the place to be, because it's a lot of fun.
How do people connect?
So the main thing is that we have a Facebook group.
Oh.
I know, love it or hate it, it's Facebook group. but then also the newsletter, we try to use that to connect people as well who are not on there.
Gotcha. Because yeah, not everyone's on Facebook.
Yeah, and that's how we do like pairing people up or pairing people with projects and that kind of thing.
That sounds fun. That sounds great. So the surprise thing is interesting. So you just select one that you're feeling excited about and you ship it out to people once a month for $10. And how much did you get an ounce? How many ounces? What did you say?
An ounce.
And how many like
15
teas
to 20 cups?
Oh, 15 to 20 cups. That's pretty good for a month.
Yeah. And then you get a sample of something else. And the way that I pick the teas is also very intuitive. So I have to plan really far out for the tea club, because I'm getting that tea for you, like from Japan, from Sri Lanka, like places like way across the world. Right.
Yeah.
So I really have to be organized for that. And so I sit down and I usually have everybody that helps me, you know, I involve them in the process. And I work out, I just intuitively really think about what kind of flavors or what things I feel like people are going to need. And it obviously has to be intuitive because it's a long way away. So I have no knowing. So I have to just guess, right? But I think about, you know, I need to pick 12. So I think about kind of those flavors and what people need and balancing out what we've done before, what was popular. People get to vote and kind of review, you know, and give feedback. So we use that. So there's a lot of different inputs. And then obviously I need to balance the shipments around, you know, green, black, oolong, try to mix it up, right? So it's not just black tea every month or green every month. And so I get all that input together and then come up with the concepts, you know, the
blends.
Yeah, like a example of one that was really popular a while back was raspberry Earl Grey. So I think like that would be a real hit. So then I take the concepts and then work on all those recipes. So how do you make raspberry Earl Grey? Because I never made it before. Or, you know, we have this. What if we added, you know, jasmine to it? Or what if we did roses over here? So so we put a ton of effort into each month getting those teas out. And then once the teas are set, I come up, you know, I figure out what the names are. Sometimes I know the name before the recipe. Sometimes it's the other way around. But it's all really an intuitive thing. And then paired with the tea is a message about what the tea has to teach us. And a little affirmation or message.
How sweet.
So when people
is that?
Get their tea in the mail, there's like a purple card that's kind of like the tasting notes, if you will. You know, like this fruit, you know, is considered a lucky fruit. So think about, you know, this is, you know, you're going to be lucky every time you drink this tea.
Yeah.
And then there's like on the back, like a little, you know, message that people put in their refrigerator or tape it to their mirror that's like, you know, today's my lucky day. Or,
oh my God. That's so sweet.
I'm gonna say no to the things that are not right for me. Like that's the kind of things.
Wow, taking tea beyond the cup.
Yeah, well, I want to impact people in a positive way, and the tea is just the messenger. So.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And so all the other blends that you've made and told us about today, people can just buy also just online.
Yeah. So I have the store. Like, gotcha. So you can just buy. If you don't like surprises, which is okay, you know, that's totally fine. Or if you want to try it first, if you want to kind of get your, you know, feet underneath you, there's just like an online shop where you can pick the teas. Or if you just need honey, or if you just want, you know, an infuser, you can get those. But then the club, those teas are like secret. You know, you don't know what you're going to get. And then if there are extras, you have to be in the club to see how to get those.
Oh, so the ones you make for the club, you don't then put on the site for sale?
Well, actually, we're trying to do this thing now because there are so many now and there's some really popular ones. So I'm going to actually give people who are in the club an option to vote teas out of the club archives and into the store.
That's cool. That sounds great. You sound like you're having so much fun. So let me ask you a few plant questions before I let you go back to your tea. I'm wondering if you have a favorite plant party restaurant.
Oh, I have so many favorites. Sucks about Portland is that it feels like things are changing so fast that things can get lost. No, here it is. It's Blossoming Lotus. Okay. That's my.
All right.
That's really nice. It's one of those places like if you ate there and didn't even know, like you would never realize that
it was plants.
That it was just plants.
That's good. That's the best kind of place. What is your favorite plant to eat?
Blasted broccoli.
What does that mean?
So you cut it so it can kind of lay flat on a tray.
Okay.
Get baking sheet, olive oil, salt and pepper, and then put it in the oven 375 for like 20 minutes. Gets the tops crispy and crunchy. Oh, I love it. I can't get enough.
You call it blasted broccoli?
Blasted broccoli. And there's a restaurant in Seattle that I had it at once. I'm like terrible with the names today. I can't think of the name of it, but I was like, what's blasted broccoli? And they're, you know, that's exactly what I just said.
That's so
and I was
funny.
Like, that sounds amazing. Like, I love crunchy, you know, like definitely that would be high on my like flavor profile is crunchy. So I got it. And I was like, oh my gosh, tell me again how you made this. And she was like, just, you know, olive oil, salt and pepper, 375, like let it get crunchy on the top. And so now, I just cannot get enough.
Yum.
The only downside is in the summer, like who wants to run the oven, you know, for like half an hour at a high temperature. So
no. What is your favorite kitchen tool?
Favorite kitchen tool? French press.
I knew it. French press. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Did I already ask you what your favorite tea was?
In general, my favorite type of tea is white tea.
Okay. Mine is green.
Yeah. So the white tea is it's the same kind of processing as a green tea, but it's the kind of top of the plant. Like there's this still set area of leaves, the younger leaves that they take. So
Huh.
that's the white tea, and it has the lowest amount of caffeine.
Gotcha. One question, actually, are all your teas organic?
Yes.
Great. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's challenging for you to source that.
It's challenging, and I am proudly not certified because I use wildcrafted ingredients, and I also buy a lot of things from like smaller farms, so they don't have all the paperwork, or they're in
Gotcha.
places like Taiwan. You know, there isn't any, there's no like certification, anything like at
Right.
all. So,
Yeah.
but we like investigate and like really do our
Cool.
homework and make sure that they're using thoughtful practices. Like one of my favorite stories, we buy some tea in Kenya, and they have the tea, and then the tea is all surrounded by lemongrass, like
Oh.
just like a Stephen King movie, like this big like ring of lemongrass, and it keeps all the bugs out. And then at the end of
Oh.
the season, they cut the lemongrass and sell that too.
Wow, that's really cool. Speaking of lemongrass, do you get anything from Thailand?
From Thailand? No, I don't think so. No.
Huh. I'm a big Thailand enthusiast. I just went
Yeah.
there a few months ago and it was the best trip of my life. So we drank a lot of tea there.
Yeah, it's a great place. But it's really interesting how the world's changing. I know that this year the big country showing up at the tea shows is Colombia. So
Oh,
that was interesting.
I thought they were for coffee.
I know, but they're really
Branching
trying to
out.
make a na make the name for themselves in tea now, apparently.
Breaking
So
into the tea industry. So, is there a book that in some big way has inspired you?
well, I loved Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek.
Yeah.
I know that other people have said that. And Tim Ferriss is kind of a love it or hate it character, but
Yeah.
it really kind of showed me a different way to think about things.
Yeah.
And it was back in that time, way back when we started talking, when I really didn't feel and didn't believe in myself. And it's kind of like, well, if I don't believe in me, then who will? So I felt
Right.
like that was a great eye opener.
Yeah. Well, man, you are killing it with the teas. I'm my mind is blown. I'm so well educated on the teas now. I can't thank you enough for coming on and spending this much time talking to us about this. This has been extremely interesting. Thank you so much.
Of course, I had a lot of fun, and I'm glad that we were able to have fun, learn something new,
Yeah.
maybe change people's perspective.
I think you've definitely changed people's perspective. So, to find out more, to try some of your blends, to do everything, where should everybody go?
It's all available at plumdeluxe.com. So that's plum like the fruit, Plum, and then deluxe, which has an E at the end,
Yep.
Deluxe, plumdeluxe.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. If you're anything like me, this chat left you feeling so well educated about tea and so well excited to try cold brewing it. I can't be alone in not knowing that tea all comes from the same plant, right? Please let me know I'm not alone by leaving a comment in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/43.